Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, God is so gracious that we often don't reap what we sow if we turn to him. But if we continue to go our own way and we plant a seed that's evil, we're going to reap the harvest of what we sow. You know, it's been said, garbage in, garbage out. You throw a seed, the seed's going to come after its kind. The Bible doesn't use karma. That's a New Age concept. The Bible uses the law of sowing and reaping. You sow a seed, you reap what we'd call the commensurate harvest. The harvest is going to match what you planted. It's just that simple. And so God let them go their way. They already didn't want to pay attention to his ways. We've learned that. So the elders, and I would say you're going to see some pathetic leadership here, of the congregation said, what shall we do? For wives for those who are left. There's still 200 guys since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin. We killed everybody. So now we're 200 short. What do we do? Once again, man's planning. You should have sought the Lord way back many verses ago, but you didn't do that. And now you got a whole other mess to clean up. And these guys are going to have another brilliant idea. It's going to be a real godly one. You'll watch what's going to happen, right? So just something to think about here. This would have been a good time for a timeout, a searching the scriptures and crying out to God in repentance for wisdom. We're going to move to the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. And as we do, we're going to see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we're going to learn what wisdom is. And wisdom means to live out what your values are. Wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is to live the right way. Proverbs 2 talks about if you search for wisdom as you would search for gold or treasure, you'll find her and she will have great benefits for you. If you search for her, you'll find her and she'll direct you. But if you don't, if you search for your own wisdom, you'll find that. And so they should have said, Lord, we're coming back to you. We're going to stop right now. We're not going to add sorrow to sorrow, sin to sin. But they kept coming up with their own ideas. And they said, 17, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin. They're still thinking about those 200 soldiers. That a tribe may not be blotted out from Israel. But we cannot give them wives of our daughters. They had made that vow. For the sons of Israel had sworn, saying, cursed is he who gives a wife to Benjamin. They put themselves under a curse if they would do this. So they figure they can't get out of that. So they said, behold, we've got an idea. Everybody submit your ideas in the anonymous box, right? Here's an idea. They said, there's a feast for the Lord from year to year in Shiloh. We don't know what the feast is. Some people say it's Passover. Some say it's the Feast of Tabernacles because it's around the grapes and it's probably in the fall. We don't know for sure. But they said, there's a feast. It seems almost incidental, not important to them, which is on the north side of Bethel. So that's where Shiloh is. On the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and on the south side of Lebona. So they say there's a feast. And here's what we can do. And just as a side note, they think that the feast, whatever it may be, whether it's Passover, Tabernacles, or some other feast, is a corrupted feast. Alex had talked about the idea of syncretism. Syncretism is when you try to sync up countering points of view and put them into the same soup. So just think of the word syncing up your watch or something. And that's the idea of syncretism. So that's what a lot of spirituality is about in our world today. It's syncretism. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some Buddhism, some Christianity, you know, whatever. And you just put it all in the soup and you take what you like, right? And I know Sherman had mentioned syncretism as well. And so maybe this had become a syncretistic kind of feast where they used the name of the Lord, but it wasn't really about the Lord. And they commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait. That's always a wonderful thing to tell somebody, lie in wait. If you ever have somebody tell you, I got an idea for you, lie in wait, you might want to rethink the company that you keep. Because lying in wait means to hide and pounce on somebody out of nowhere. Don't do that, right? If you hear an idea like, hey, you want to get together later and we'll lie in wait? No. I don't want to lie in anything with you, frankly, right? So here they are. And they said, go lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. And behold, if the daughters of Shiloh, might be local girls or perhaps some professional dancers, come out to take part in the dances, then you shall come out of the vineyards after you've been hiding. And each of you shall catch his wife from the daughters of Shiloh and then go to the land of Benjamin. Ha ha, each one will catch his wife, catch his wife. Swing your partner round and round. Grab a bride where she can be found. Take her off to the land of Benjamin. What wonderful advice. This is how you get a wife. You hide behind a bush. Spring out when you see one you kind of like and catch her away. It's like she's been raptured. What brilliant leaders in the land of Israel. By the way, don't ever try to catch a wife that way. That would be a bad career move. Because she's probably got a dad with a shotgun. But anyway, so this is what they say. So those 200 remaining soldiers, unmarried, I need a wife. We're going to the vineyard today. What are we going to do? We're going to wait. We're going to see if the dancing girls come out. And when they come out, the quickest one to the girl. And then you take her away. You don't go up and say, excuse me, ma'am, may I have this dance? Oh, no. Just grab her. And I put in my notes, wow. They didn't instruct them to say, hello, my name is John or Michael. May I have this dance? Oh, no. Catch her away. So apparently that's what they did. They grabbed these women, all 200 soldiers, and whisked them away. During a feast for Yahweh. How do you worship the Lord? Well, I hide in a bush and a pretty girl comes along. I say, I'm going to wait. I mean, come on. Yeah, anyway. Did you go to church today? Yeah, what were you up to? I'm looking to catch a wife. Didn't a band sing about that? No, it was Catch a Wave. It wasn't Catch a Wife. All right, that's all I got for that. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. How in the world do you get to this point? Where you add sorrow to sorrow, sin to sin, stupidity to stupidity. But that's what they do. And now, a bunch of girls have been taken away from this feast, and they knew that they might have a problem. Verse 22, they're going to cover their back. They said, and it'll come about, now they're given the advice, right, to go to the feast and to do this, when their fathers or their brothers, because you know some women have brothers, too, that might be angry, and they could have shotguns as well. When they come to complain to us, that we shall say to them, give them to us voluntarily, because we did not take for each man of Benjamin a wife in battle, nor did you give them to them, else you would now be guilty. Let me give you the NIV. When their fathers or brothers complain to us, we'll say to them, do us a kindness by helping them, because we did not give wives for them during the war, and you are innocent since you did not give your daughters to them. See, here's what they're saying. If you would have given your daughter knowingly, you would have broken the vow. But since the warriors stole your daughter, you didn't break the vow. Help a brother out. We got a win-win situation here. This is what they got in their pocket for the inevitable question. Did you take my daughter? Yeah. Well, what do you think you're doing, son? Well, wait a minute. Here's one of the elders of the nation to talk to you.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk, or maybe you're doing the dishes, anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're already listening on podcast, please do us a favor and spread the word about Walk in Truth. Click that share button and share today's episode. Really appreciate you. God bless.
Hey there. Are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Help a brother out! We got a win-win situation here! This is what they got in their pocket for the inevitable question. Did you take my daughter? Yeah. Well, what do you think you're doing, son? Well, wait a minute. Here's one of the elders of the nation to talk to you. Now, look, brother. You didn't give her. You didn't break the vow. He took her. See the technicality, the difference? You're fine. Help a brother out. You're off the hook. We're off the hook. She's married. He's a nice young man from Benjamin. Come on. Do it for the good of the country. That's what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. How'd you meet your spouse? Well, I was dancing, and next thing I know, I'm in Benjamin, kidnapped. They're breaking other laws to try to make provision for stupid vows that they shouldn't have made in the first place. And everybody's doing what's right in his own eyes. And that always makes for a very ordered, wonderful, peaceful society. No. And the sons of Benjamin did so. They took the wives. They took these girls according to their number. There was 200 from those who danced. And they carried whom they carried away. And they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the cities and lived in them. Now, I didn't expect to see that, frankly. Like, after this happened, I thought I might see, and fire came down from heaven. You know, something like that. But no. Look at it. Look at the verse again. Right after they carry these ladies away and basically kidnap them and abuse them, they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the cities and lived in them. There's a time of going back to life, rebuilding, joy, probably everyday life and peace in wherever your land might be found. And all I can say to you is that's the grace of God. Here's one more paragraph from an author. So there you have it, he says. Women have been abducted, protest has been stifled, and no one has done anything wrong because all has been done out of compassion for Benjamin and in fulfillment of solemn oaths taken before the Lord! Exclamation point. But the truth is that Israel's leaders have forced others to do what they themselves had sworn not to do, give their daughters as wives to the Benjamites. And papered it all over with sophistry, that is, with clever language, etc. They've created a world in which right is wrong and wrong is right and landed the nation in complete moral bankruptcy, close quote. And I say, oh, America, where are we? If we continue going down this road, I wonder where it will end up. And yet I will say that the grace of God abounds in our lives, amen? And as crazy and chaotic as things get, and as a Christian, how many times I have failed to do what I knew to do, I've gone right back into the grace of God. Often when I was faithless, he has been faithful. And so I don't want to just dismiss their behavior because I know that each of us probably have rejoiced in God's incredible grace. 24. And the sons of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. Each one of them went out from there to his inheritance. So this is interesting because God's the one that promised the land as an inheritance. I'm going to give you three scriptures. Hopefully you can put them up on the screen. Here's Joshua 11:16. Take a look. Thus Joshua took all that land, the hill country and all the Negev, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Arabah, the hill country of Israel and its lowland. Joshua 11:23, very important verse. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war. And Joshua 24:28 says, Joshua dismissed the people each to his inheritance. Joshua 11:23 is an interesting verse because it says there that Joshua took the whole land and it was according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. So often the debate around the Bible is when the land was given to Israel, did they take the whole land? Are there still land promises to the current nation of Israel? And that is actually being debated in scholarly circles because some argue based upon Joshua 11:23 that they did take the whole land, even though they forfeited much of it, of course, by not conquering it fully in disobedience. I'll let you think about that one. That's a different topic. And then the last verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, the writer is obviously looking back. We don't know who the author is. Some people think it's Samuel. And he closes the book with, in those days, there was no king. Now, the next book, Ruth, will introduce the line to David, and Saul will fail. David will take over, a man after God's own heart, and he will lead the nation pretty well. It does say that the king was to write down a copy of the law in front of the Levitical priests and lead the nation by the law of God. David did a pretty good job. He had his failings. Solomon did a pretty good job. The nation was united, but you know Solomon fell as well and got himself in trouble. And then the nation split, and there were no good kings on Israel's side, and a few good, more than a few good kings, but not a ton on Judah's side. But each king had one thing in common. They were what? Imperfect. Now, the implication of what the Bible's saying is that when you have a king who's leading the nation according to God's word, you're going to have ways that you can get through times like this with some clear direction. That's what they lacked. But even with David, even with Solomon, even with other good kings like Uzziah, they didn't do it. They did not meet the royal ideal. But a king was coming who would. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this king, Jesus, came to his own. But his own would not receive him. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. You know, you live right now as a believer under the head of the king, the anointed one, Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate king. He succeeds where all other earthly kings have failed. He succeeds where all of us have failed. He died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. He rose from the dead just as he promised. And he now reigns in heaven. The kingdom of God is being built. One day we will experience the fullness of the kingdom. And God has brought the answer through Israel, a largely failed nation, right? But he brought the promise nonetheless. He brought it to us, a largely failed people. And by him, we are healed. Amen. God did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The king has come. Blessed be the king of Israel. And as we follow him by the power of the Holy Spirit, as imperfect as we can be, we can know that he will lead us where we are to go.
You've been listening to Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
I think you feel it. I feel it. Our country seems to be at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to do what's right in our own eyes and make it all about self and humanism and whatever ism you want to tag to it? Or are we going to make it about the king and the kingdom? Are we going to make it about Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news, and doing what's right in his eyes instead of doing what's right in our eyes? That's really the crux of the whole thing, isn't it? Who do we follow? The dictates of our own flesh, humanism, man, self, or Christ? Do we follow his ways, him as Lord? See, each household has to decide that. Let me speak to the men. You and I, brother, must say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We need more men to be men of God. And when we do that, when older men are discipling younger men, when we make a decision, when we plant our flag, it makes all the difference. Let it start with you. Let me do what's right in your eyes, O Lord. And that's what will make the huge difference. Now, we're going to talk about tomorrow, here Friday on Walk in Truth, a message from Judges chapter 5, O my soul, march on with strength. It's a beautiful song, a surprising song in the book of Judges. It's a celebration of God's victory and an encouragement to keep marching on with God's strength. We'll dive into that tomorrow. Hey, share Walk in Truth with a friend through the app, through the website, through a text, whatever you might want to do. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you tomorrow.
And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 5 called, O My Soul, March On With Strength.
You can look back on last year and maybe you've got a lot of things to celebrate. Maybe you would say it's about 50-50. Maybe you'd say it's 60-40. Some of you look back on 2023 and you're like, very close maybe to 2020. Some of you have had some very personal, challenging times. You've gone through some difficulty. It could be in a relationship. It could be elsewhere, whatever it may be. It could be work, whatever, but maybe a friendship. But I'll tell you this, what this spoke to me, and probably the biggest thing I would like for you to take away from tonight, is that you can keep moving forward in Christ, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen?
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.